All right. Get out of here, Dory. I got to get out of here. I think my voice will be 100% by Monday. Thanks for putting up with that, too. Okay, the John Kiley and Sherry Ulliker show is coming up next. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Ron Bailey School of Broadcasting talks a little bit about it.
There is a place you should know, teaching TV and radio. There's a
All right, everybody, rule number one. If your voice sounds like you've been gargling razor blades, best not to do the show that day. That's right. How about Dory playing sick, huh?
Wow. Accusing him of playing it?
No. He's playing sick. No.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
He's playing.
Okay.
Yeah. Not like he's faking the whole thing.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Like
okay.
You were, you know, somehow you're playing hurt, you know, playing hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. Sorry.
Sort of thing. Like Sherry's never sick. She's like, there she is. Hey. Happy Thanksgiving.
That's right. Thanksgiving Eve.
Here we go. It's my brother hates when people, like, you all set for Turkey Day? Huh? And I actually found myself saying that to somebody today. And then that woman in the over near the peanut butter section said, "You know, I have to say something, and I hope you take this, you know, just as a constructive criticism. A lot of us here would like to see you run for Congress, but if you keep playing fart sounds on your show, it's going to hurt you in the long run."
Diving into the day.
And she thinks that's going to be the tipping point is the fart stuff.
That's the only
Nothing
thing.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Not any of the other stuff that you've revealed, talked about, told
Nothing
stories
said,
about. Yeah.
Make,
no,
nope.
it's, that's yeah. it. That's going to be that's, your death knell.
That's okay. the thing she pointed to. Yeah. She said right. she and a couple of friends were talking about it at Mike's the other day, that I'd be a good candidate, but then somebody said, yeah, but he does play a lot of fart sounds. That's going to come back and haunt you. All right, here we go. Lots of news to get to. Of course, Colorado Springs, we're learning more about the shooter. You know, I think is one of the strangest things is when these happen. We don't really, you don't talk much about the people whose lives are lost. Like, where's the story on the four that have been killed? Why is that not part of the story? I understand. We got the guy. Okay, we're learning whatever his ridiculous motive was. If there's any reason, it doesn't make any sense anyway, because why go into some place and intentionally kill a bunch of unarmed people? It speaks volumes of your character that you're obviously a coward. You're mentally ill. This guy is a self-professed heroin user. He tried to kill his mom or a bomb thrown on his mom. We got all that. For some reason, they dropped the charges. We also know that he changed his name because he was embarrassed by his father. So he legally changed his name, I think, in 2015 or something like that. And then the news breaks that he is also considered himself non-binary. And once they and them pronouns, I forget how they're referring to him. But that was the news that broke yesterday as you're getting more news about who the shooter is, which completely blows out of the water every single person on the left, and that's everybody in the media, and that is AOC and everyone else that was looking to blame all of this on the hateful speech from Ron DeSantis and the Republicans. And, you know, whenever anybody dies, and my friend Daniel Flynn from American Spectator wrote, you know, Bruce Willis was able to see dead people. The folks on the left are able to see who killed them. And that's, of course, the answer is always, always, always.
Turning now to that deadly Colorado nightclub shooting. The suspect will appear in court by video for the first time today. Five people were killed in Saturday's massacre and nearly 20 injured. The lead shooter's attorneys say their client identifies as non-binary and uses they, them pronouns.
There have been few details about the suspect in this case until now, and now we may know why. As court records indicate, they did not grow up as Anderson Lee Aldrich, following a very tumultuous past.
The person suspected of killing five people inside Club Q was born with the name Nicholas Brink. Court records show at 15, they petitioned to change the name to Anderson Lee Aldrich, stating they didn't want to be connected to their father, who had a criminal history. The change happened months after they were allegedly viciously bullied online.
Okay, so now we learn about the past of the shooter, and I like how ABC News covered this thing. Watch how they do this. Watch how they set it up.
This will be the suspect's first appearance in court in which they're read their charges for the first time. And that, as we learn, of this chilling Facebook post made by the suspect's mother just hours before the shooting, in which she says her son went missing. He took her phone and her debit card and cryptically promised the best night ever. Overnight, ABC News obtaining this chilling Facebook post from Laurel Vopel, the mother of the Colorado Springs massacre suspect, seemingly concerned about her son's whereabouts in the hours before the shooting, saying, "My son is missing. He took my phone and my debit card. We had plans and were so excited." She ends by saying her son told her to get ready to have the best night ever.
Now, overnight, a think tank that monitors hate speech online reported a shocking 613% rise in hate speech.
Okay, so see this? So the report, the non-binary, all that other stuff that goes with who this guy is. Then at the end, they go to this website that's going to do this whole hate speech stuff.
Targeting the LGBTQ community. They're saying that that is being parroted by politicians and influencers online. And the think tank is concerned that this could spur even more violence.
Okay. Brilliant, ABC. If you don't mind, get a little rant here. So... Even though the individual that went in there and killed those people is obviously not a Republican, is somebody who professes to be non-binary, that's fine. The person wants to be 22 years old. That's who they say they are. That's fine. Got it. Respected. Got it. But still, at the end of the piece, let's not forget that all of this quote-unquote hate speech that they say they're monitoring, that is up over 600%. So what would that be, from 0 to 6 or whatever the number is? That let's end the piece with that it's still coming from the right. It's like to twist yourself into this illogical pretzel to be able to end your piece, ABC, with... If this is a person who identifies, you know, who's obviously got all sorts of problems, but then at the end, let's not forget Ron DeSantis. Let's not forget Republicans. Is that just shocks the conscience of the court? If the media wants to know why people are so distrustful of the media and why they're moving away from it and all this other stuff, it's because of crap like this. That's amazing. That's amazing and insulting. Not only the intelligence of the American people, plus anybody that identifies themselves as a Republican. Somehow they're responsible for this guy's action? I mean, it is nuts.
So on CNN, when they discovered this little tidbit about him being non-binary, the anchor was literally speechless. She said, I don't know what to say about that. And then she went to the panel, and one of the guys on the panel said, oh, well, obviously, this is something his defense attorney has come up with to try to make up for or to try to, alleviate or to mitigate
the hate crime
thing, which is the least of his worries. And I thought, why on the face of it, you can't just accept this? Can't both things be true? Can it be that he is non-binary, but he still, wanted to execute this hate crime? It's entirely possible. I mean, some of the things that he did as a teenager when he was 16, well, he was a target of vicious bullying. Somebody put up almost a Wikipedia page about him, which was, just this horrible, terrible stuff that they said about him. And then he posted some sort of really weird, crude animation that said Asian homosexual gets molested. We won't know until people hear from him, I guess, or his defense attorneys speak to him and they come up with whatever they're going to come up with, what his real motivation was. Where was he influenced by anything? Did he have self-loathing and a loathing of that community? We don't know. Yeah. Anything is possible.
Listen, the same thing happens where somebody who is Muslim and then becomes, radicalized and goes and kills a bunch of people. So that's that's that one individual. That's not the entire religion. That's not the entire religion it's not all Muslims. This guy happens to identify as non-binary. That doesn't mean that everybody that is non-binary or trans is somehow some homicidal maniac that's going to go around killing people. These are always the acts of one individual. And then to try to tie them to different things in society so that it can all go back, and as in the media will point out over and over again, it all goes back to the Republicans. Listen to this person from GLAAD.
Whatever the motive comes out to be, right, we know that there is an increase in this culture of hate and rhetoric around our community that is resulting in real world harm. And even a report that we're about to release shows that.
So regardless of why this guy did it, let's ignore that now, because now we can't use this person as an example of everybody on the right. Regardless of what that is, let's remember there's all this other stuff.
In the past year, there have been either 100 violent attacks or threats of violence against drag events across this country. In this country, brunches. I mean, we're talking about brunch people.
Here's the problem for this lady. The people that are, you should be able to question, should a 52-year-old Zoftic man dressed as a woman gyrate his genitals in front of a 5-year-old? That's it. That's what people are asking. Is that good? Is that bad? Why are the kids at these drag shows? These are questions that people are asking. That's a legitimate question to ask. How does society and how does the culture benefit to have a man dressed as a woman, a clownish woman, by the way, a drag queen, dancing in front of little kids, and then little kids dressing up and also dancing while full-grown men throw dollars at them? That's a legitimate question to ask. It's a legitimate question to ask, why is a 14-year-old having their genitalia removed? These are legitimate questions. This is not about the hate speech. This is about asking, is this the best thing for our children and our society? That can be spoken of. That can be talked to. That can be addressed. That can be argued. You can have a different point of view about it. But to just lump it all in there and then say it's all because of this, if it's not going to be this guy, then it's going to be somebody else that's going to do something. Right?
Well, it's also, yeah, and it's also two dramatically different things. It's one thing to talk about, and it's honestly up to, my opinion is, if a parent thinks that it's appropriate for a child to be exposed to that, that's nobody's business. That's nobody's business but the parent's business. As long as that child isn't being, abused or whatever, that's up to them if they feel that that's okay. But you can't really compare that to an adult event, which is, it was a drag show. It was 100% adults. So to say that, to equate the two, saying, oh, there's all this hate against drag brunches, it's going to translate into an adult thing. That was a different issue. That was a lot of people being concerned about the exposure of minors, not this.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Here's the last part.
So I think that DeSantis, Boebert, they have blood on their hands on this. They have to stop spreading lies. These are lies that they're spreading, and they're causing pain and death and murder against our community, in addition to insufficient gun safety in this country. Oh, yeah, yeah. Couple that all together, and you have what happened on Saturday night.
Okay. Well, okay, it's not even worth talking about for this woman. But listen, the media will do this because this is what they do. Boy, what a curveball for them. Too bad they couldn't go online and find this guy, being a big Trump supporter or something like that. More comes out about that ridiculous racist in Buffalo and all the nutty, crazy stuff that was in social media page, went in there and shot all those people at that supermarket. I mean, remove all the rest. It gets down to, why are young men going and killing people? Why are young men, what's going on in society? And it's not the guns, because you had higher access to guns in the 60s. Why are young men, predominantly almost always white, somewhere between the age of like 24 up to 18? What is wrong with us? What's wrong with our society?
Why is it I mean, why isn't the focus, John, not so much on the broader narrative of trans and all this stuff? Why isn't the focus on the fact that this kid could have been stopped? He could gone to prison. He could have done, somebody could have intervened when he tried to blow up his house. That's what the question should be, is why are people that, you know, are clearly either mentally ill or committing crimes allowed to be, you know, reoffend and
Why wasn't he charged with anything, right?
Yes.
I don't think he was charged with anything. So
no, that's
they'll eventually get to that piece of it, right, Sherry? Someone will trace that back and find the prosecutor that didn't bring charges against him. Or I think that's what ended up happening, and the guy just walked free. And the other thing is, not only you walk free, but then there's no follow-up on it. Like, how does somebody do that? How does somebody threaten to blow up and have a whole bunch of bombs and have all this other stuff and post all this stuff online? And then how are they not, like, aware of where this person is? But, yikes. Well, all right. Good job, media. Way to go. You guys are really on top of this story. All righty. Let's see. I went to ask this other lady, I was at the grocery store today trying to get some fun stuff for the show about what are you grateful for. They were all too busy shopping to talk to me.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. I mean,
plus I had slippers on. Let me preface, I had slippers on. I forgot I walked out with my slippers on, so that's probably the problem.
Sweatpants, too?
They could have looked like sweatpants. They're really all stretched out. And then I had my weird furry hat. So take it all back. Didn't look right. Looked a little weird, so.
Okay.
That's also going to hurt me when running for Congress. Okay. That and the fart sounds. Thanks, Andrew, for dragging me down.
You're welcome.
Where is Thanksgiving on your list of all holidays? Is it near the very top, middle, bottom? Sherry?
It's kind of middle of the road for me.
Hmm.
How about you?
Yeah. Kind of hurt by that. It's number one for me.
oh, it is? Really?
Yeah.
Better than Christmas?
You know what? I'm going to have to take some time. I was just demonstrating how sometimes people are on the radio can suddenly, something go sideways. And that's a perfect example of what happened here. So this is, see how I did that, Jacob? I sucked you in on that one.
Yeah, you got me.
You bought it. All right. So these two guys are on ESPN, and it's Peter Burns and Ben Wilson. And they're they're exchanging a little friendly banter back and forth. And then it goes kind of.
Did you not get the memo on the suits? We all went dark today. You're like Easter service.
Y'all kind of leave me out.
As long as I get a text from my wife that says I look good.
Oh, really?
So send me the text, babe. Send me the text. That's not the one she sent me.
That's what she said. But let me just start with this before. Can we let this one joke go? Hey, did you not get the memo about the blue jacket? funny. It was never a funny thing. But suddenly that's become like a standard thing of like, get the memo. We all got a memo about what you were. Let's let that one go, everybody. All right? Let that one go.
Okay. The get the memo thing.
Yeah, get the memo thing about where. Okay, you got that? And then that's not the text. You come back up to the offensive part. Here we go.
Hey, outdoors!
Commercial for live TV!
15 to 6!
Live TV?
Keep a man on the toes.
All right, okay, so it seems like they're all kind of getting along.
Uh-huh.
Boy, they were really laughing at that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Then what happened? Did you watch it, Jacob, or just cut the sound on it?
So the clip that went viral, I think I'm not sure exactly what happened. After that exchange, they were thrown to a package of highlights or a commercial break, but there was some part of the next set of whatever viewers saw on their screen that was not the four guys sitting at the table anymore. And then the next cut is what the viewers saw when they returned.
They come back.
Welcome back to the Farm Rich Halftime Report. Just you and I here, Tiki. I'm not sure what happened to Peter Burns, or did you have him?
Just you and me. Just you and me here.
Okay, wow. We're really going to dissect every part of this.
Let's retire that, too.
Peter Burns, or did you have him keep your wife's name out of his mouth?
Huh?
We'll see how Peter Burns is with that smart mouth in the second half. But Gators do not get much going in the first half.
Okay. So was Burns the one that made the joke about that? Your wife texted me, told me. Yeah.
So Peter Burns makes this remark about Ben Watson's wife, that whole thing, right? Yeah. So then they come back to the set, or they come back to the shot, and the two guys, both Ben Watson and Peter Burns, are gone. Then Ben Watson comes back, and he's sort of not too happy about it. Anyway, so then later on in the day, Peter Burns tweets out a picture that says friendship, and it's the two of them together. And then Watson says, moving on, but you still owe Mrs. Watson a public apology. And he wrote this: while it was a joke, the truth is I crossed the line. You should never joke about family, so that I owe that public apology to Ben and Kristen 100%. Watson couldn't have handled it better with his humor and class. So I guess they made up, but he, of course, had to really – you know, say he was sorry.
That's like a guy jokey joke.
I know. That's like your mama. You know what I mean? One of those jokes. I mean, it's kind of like,
whoa, Sherry, what do you about my mama? What do you mean by that?
Don't leave me. Don't walk off.
There was what I would say about a year ago. No, later. It was a couple, sometime probably in May. I made a comment on the air, and I could tell you got kind of frosty. Show ended, and then I called you, and I went to apologize, and you're like, okay, apology accepted. And I started to say something else. You went, we're moving on. And I, okay. And I didn't bring it up again, and I realized, like, I had, but I figured out what the line was. I'd made some joke something. And then do you remember when I called on that, and you're like, really kind of very cold and distant, and then when I apologize,
I do.
But it was like we were trying to figure out what we could get away with, and I went too far, and then you just said, "You got it, okay, good, we're moving on."
I think it was about favorite holidays again. This is just a long-standing issue for you both.
It was.
She moved Thanksgiving further down on her list.
Weird.
Holiday? She said.
I think what I said to you was, families are off limits. Let's just leave it at that. And that's what it was. And and there was no point in belaboring it or whatever. And that was it. I mean, I think sometimes you don't really know. I mean, when you're on the air, you're doing a live show, you're trying to be funny or be entertaining or whatever. And sometimes things get said that, you know, there's no ill intent. It just, it gets out there. And, so I didn't see any need to. Did you want to talk about it more? You want to talk about it now?
Right.
No, Teenie. Do you want to talk to Teenie? Because you guys seem to be having a big problem on the air.
No, I am, again, moving on. No. I don't like dwelling.
Teenie, you want to talk about it on the air or no? Are you okay?
Okay.
She said okay like it was a question. I think that's back to you, Sherry.
Yeah. Okay. The answer is no. Thank you, Teenie. So I think maybe her Thanksgiving, or maybe her favorite holiday, is Thanksgiving. So the two of you can spend it together.
Well, she sent you an email yesterday, and she was, I don't want to speak for you. She sent the email and you didn't write.
I just wanted to see what it would be like to be different today.
Oh, yeah, I'd like that if you were different.
No, she's hoping you would be different.
Oh, right, I see. Well, here's a little tip, Teenie. Next time when you send me an email, don't say "Dear Susan," and maybe we can move along.
All right.
Excellent. Oh boy, Susan.
She's having some problems.
She won't let it go.
You did radio with Don and Mike. They must have often offended you.
All the time. I mean, because I was in a role, you know, where that was part of what they did was, you know, they put you on the spot, like they'd ask you these really personal questions on the air, and then
did you ever have to have that weird frosty conversation that you had with me?
I don't really remember. No, I don't think so. I don't think that they would have been welcoming that kind of thing. You know, I mean, if you didn't like the way they treated you, okay, see you later. Yeah. So no, I don't think I probably would have been able to be forthcoming about that if my feelings were hurt.
So you're saying that if you had said something to them, they would have fired you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
They would not have. They didn't remember. This was radio in the 90s. So
right.
Anything
okay.
goes, right? I mean, anything. And so if you didn't like what was going on, if you didn't like it, okay, move on. You know, they didn't have any obligation to me. They yeah. wouldn't have I don't think they would have taken to that if I had said, you know, oh, by the way, I don't like it when you, you know, make fun of this. I don't think that they would have accepted
you think
that.
You would have felt the need to lower your voice like that in kind of a weird tone?
I'm not sure. Maybe that would have worked. Maybe that would have been more effective.
Okay, well, I don't
know. Just stop!
Yeah, exactly. Three calls already from friends wondering if I had Thanksgiving plans. They said, you know, you probably... Just checking in to see if you're a Thanksgiving orphan. So then I decided I would call a couple of people. And one person I called, I didn't really want the person to come and say yes. I thought, I'll just extend the invitation with hoping that they can't make it. And they wrote back, I'll see you tomorrow. So
I hope they're not listening right now, John. Are you sure?
I called enough people.
Okay. What's the head count at your house at this point? Any idea? Or are you just going to wait to see who shows up?
Well, with that guy writing in, so then I'm up to two.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, they'll never figure out who you're talking about then.
Yeah. Not a chance.
It's my little way of testing. I listen to your show all the time. Oh, really? Do you? Because that's funny. Because I was speaking disparagingly of you yesterday. so far, no, I've got six people. And then Clint just wrote, tell Sherry if she's not going to be doing anything with Trevor and his family, she's more than welcome to come to my Thanksgiving. So I said, oh, she's going to be flying all the way over to see you, Clint.
Well, isn't that nice?
I said this yesterday. All my friends got this weird, like, obsession with you. So, what's she like off the air?
So that's Jacob? That is.
No.
I was just doing. Was I doing Jacob's voice? I'm sorry.
A little similar, yeah.
Oh.
And I protect you. I also
well, thank you.
About you. How old is she? I think she's like 37 or something.
Well, I'd say if you want to get the drool factor, you better make that 27. So 37.
By the way, you do not have a. Go ahead.
No. 27 would be more probably interesting to them, don't you think?
No, because these guys are like 65 and not well kept.
So
okay. Yeah, you don't want to make them feel creepy.
Is that your daughter? Is that your granddaughter? Is your daughter? You don't have a constitutional right to a pit bull, not in this little town. No way, no how. In fact, any dog that seems to be like a pit bull, they've got a whole bunch of listed dogs. A bunch of pit bull owners decided they were going to sue, so they sued, saying, hey, that's against our constitutional right. If we want to own a dog, we can. How far up did this case go?
Well, you know, it went to the courts. I don't think it went very far. This was in Iowa, but it was a federal court, and it upheld Iowa City's ban on this. It was Council Bluffs, Iowa. And they said not only it's not just pit bulls, it's anything that looks like a pit bull. So that's a bull terrier, anybody that's displaying the majority of physical traits of one of the breeds. So that's very, very broad. And they said they did not, the court said they did not have rational reasons for the ban For the ban, the dog owners did not negate every conceivable basis for the ordinance. So it's kind of a technicality. What they were saying was, you know, you guys didn't really present your case well enough. So we're going to side with the with Council Bluffs and say, okay, you don't have a constitutional right to do this. And I mean, you know, pit bulls are vilified, and really, you know, they're wonderful. They can be wonderful pets. They can be incredibly dangerous because their jaws are so strong and big. And if they attack, they will be, it could be deadly. But that's all on how it's like any animal. It's how it's raised, right?
Yeah. So at this point, if you own a pit bull, is it illegal to have a pit bull in that town?
Yeah.
They're going to come and get the dog?
Well, I don't know how that's going to work. It didn't specify that, but I don't think that what it is, you know, they can't sell them. You can't. And if you have one and it's against their rules or the law, yeah, they could probably come and take the dog away from you.
Yeah. I can tell you, I was somewhat prejudiced when I went to go get Lou and Lily at Paul's there in Seattle. They had lots of dogs that looked like pit bulls, but I didn't have to do the, no, he's perfectly fine. No, he'll just love you to death. Right. So I didn't want that have to do that sort of first introduction with my dog where people are like, whoa. And then you have to do the whole, no, he's fine. He's going to lick you to death, which is also a form of dying, licking to death. Or would you rather be bitten to death or licked to death?
Licked to death.
All right. I'll let Clint know.